And I would also like to take issue with Mr. Rao's statement that that there's no development that would be different as a result of this retaining wall being added, because there is a building that in his plans that he's presented to the community is actually on our current easement in the plan, and therefore obviously wouldn't be allowed. So, I take issue with that. And then I would like to read my statement. My comments address the long-term cumulative impact of the attempt by this applicant, John H. Bauer, to move, prevent, and delay construction of the second phase of the Walla Luff Trail. The resultant delays are added to the 6 years prior to his involvement that we needed to plan the trail, to obtain the necessary permits and the funding to build it. After the CDB had been obtained in May 2004, the applicant tried to get RTLC to move the trail over the bluff closer to the river. This was not possible, as the easement is for a blufftop trail defined as 25 feet from the daily bluff edge. Mr. Bauer then presented his case to the GMAC in the fall of 2004 and explained that he had long-term development plans for his property and regarded the easement as an obstacle to those plans. He believed that only 5 feet was needed for a trail and that it could be built with gravel surrounded by logs. The GMAC determined it would not revisit its decision to recommend unanimous approval of the trail, and the California Coastal Commission advised RCLC that they could not agree to move or reduce the size of the easement. How the trail was to be built had been determined in the CDP, which Mr. Bauer had not appealed. In spite of RCLC's offer to delay construction in the hope the issues could be resolved, in February 2005, Mr. Bauer filed suit against RCLC and the Coastal Commission, questioning the validity of the easement and the right to build the trail as approved in the CDP. In July 2005, in a preliminary injunction, the judge affirmed the right to build the trail and work could finally begin. After volunteers cut back weeds that were on the easement and had grown quite tall, blocking the view, Bauer added to the lawsuit, claiming that some of this weedy vegetation had been on his property, not the easement, and therefore had been cut back illegally. In September 2005, he put up no trespassing signs and advised RCLC that volunteers and contractors could not cross his property to bring in materials. This necessitated a return to court to get permission to do so, as this would have prevented the trail from being built. Concerns about the condition of the retaining wall were raised repeatedly, as it was crumbling and needed to be repaired. No repairs were made, and it failed in February 2006. Some of the easement was lost when the wall failed. The palace area will be protected has still not been decided. RCLC has been unable to add trail amenities in this site, vegetation, benches, and the trail in this section is merely a gravel path. The lawsuit was settled in February 2007 with Mr. Bauer accepting the validity of the easement. The survey locating where the daily bluff edge was and the CDP for building the trail. In spite of this, plans for future development on this parcel 13 have been presented showing a proposed easement west of the current location, and as I said before, a building is shown on the current easement. Before work on the trail began on parcel 13, Mr. Bauer was invited to give input about how the trail could be added in a way that would not contribute to the drainage problems already present because of the water that flowed from the unpaved slope parking lot. No suggestions were offered. When I asked him if his engineer, Mr. Rao, could provide assistance, since he was studying the site for this application, I was told RCLC should hire their own engineer. After receiving expert advice of our own, we added a portion of the trail on parcel 13. Landscaping was required as part of our CDP, and we needed to add mounds with organic soil if we hoped to establish vegetation, because nothing was going to grow or very unlikely to grow in the compacted fill. Large boulders were added around the mounds to assure the soil would not be washed off by water draining from the parking area in winter. When I met with Mr. Bauer after the boulders had been added, he argued that we could no longer add bollards that were part of our CDP needed to keep cars off the easement because we had added boulders, and that was not part of our previous design. This is an example of a continuing attempt on his part to try to limit trail construction. In addition, there has never been any cooperation in controlling the weedy vegetation on the property west of the easement. No one from Rao and Associates has talked to anyone from RCLC to get input about how this application would impact the trail or to answer concerns. And neither Mr. Bauer nor anyone from Rao and Associates has informed me or RCLC about changes to the application as it has progressed, even when these changes impact the Wallowa Bluff Trail. Local coastal plan language gives priority for coastal dependent and coastal-related development over all development on the coast. The Wallowa Bluff Trail is an important resource noted in the Wallowa Town Plan. It's also part of the California Coastal Trail, and the completion of the coastal trail is a high priority for the Coastal Commission. In spite of this, the staff report minimizes the value to the Wallowa Bluff Trail and its need to be protected. Information I have provided was not reflected in the staff report. There was no discussion of how to screen the wall from the trail or mention of protecting fencing to keep people walking on the trail away from the proposed retaining wall. When the applicant decided to add to this application relocation, upgrading of the underground septic system, RCLC was not consulted. There appeared to be no consideration of where the new tank would be relocated other than the applicant's wishes, and no thought about how this relocation might affect the use and enjoyment of the trail, or even whether placement on the easement was the best location solution for it. Even though addition of the retaining wall would close the second phase of the Wallowa Bluff Trail, unless we were able to get an access opened on the other end. Since the access is north of this location, and I might add that in the report to the Coastal Commission, Mr. Rao, in his timing, estimated that it would take 5 months to replace the retaining wall, so it makes it very hard for me to understand how he could then do the other part in just 2 months, since it's much longer. The staff report calls this a temporary closure, and the overall impact less than significant. Even if we are able to get an easement or an access on the other end of the trail, you're still closing off the middle of the trail, so people would only be able to walk the part on the north, and if we're lucky enough to get access on the south, a part of the south. There's no consideration given to how RCLC would have to start over the several year process to get new plantings reestablished after the ones that were planted this year were torn out, or the loss of all those volunteer hours adding the trail and watering and weeding the plants to establish them in this location. The CDP for building this trail was approved in May 2004, and the building permit was granted in October. In spite of our best efforts to complete this trail, this applicant has continually delayed us. It has now been more than 3 years since we received our building permit. Disruption of this important recreational asset to our community by further delays could mean the trail would not be completed until late 2008, or maybe even after hearing Mr. Rao, to late 2009. The GMAC hoped that there would be cooperation between Mr. Bauer and RCLC. As the project manager for this project, I would love to have that happen. Cooperation is a two-way street, however. RCLC agreed not to add additional mounds and planting south of the first septic tank, even though they're clearly with the right to do so, in order to make it easier for the applicant to repair the retaining wall. We also have cooperated in protecting the area where the retaining wall has failed. We had to add additional sheet fencing on the first phase of the Wildlife Trail after an employee sprayed the native vegetation, killing it to provide a better view for people staying at the sea cliff. We observed this happening, but were unable to stop it. After the native vegetation that had provided a safety barrier for the cliff died, we were forced to add better fencing. We waited to add the fencing until we could discuss the height and location with Mr. Bauer and agreed to do it in a way that would maximize the views from the end. We've had a long-standing complaint about the surf market dumpsters, and in the lawsuit settlement, Mr. Bauer agreed to work cooperatively with RCLC to find a solution. There's often an unpleasant odor in this area that should detract from walking the trail. In addition, garbage blows out when the dumpsters become too full and when they are empty. After the lawsuit was settled, Mr. Bauer's tenant, Steve May, closed the lids of the dumpsters that had previously been open all the time. He has asked his employees to assist in picking up the garbage so that the entire burden does not fall on RCLC volunteers who monitor the trail twice a week. This has helped, and we appreciate his assistance, but we do not feel this is a solution to the problem. Future development plans shared with the community continue to show the trash enclosures adjacent to the easement, in spite of Mr. Bauer saying before the lawsuit was settled that he would move them away from the trail and the easement. This last week, we were advised by a Bauer employee that they wanted to channel water from the new gutters in the sea cliff through pipes under the first section of the Walla Bluff Trail and release it in three places over the bluff. Concentrating water over the bluff would seem to be a great risk to the bluff. This is one of the factors believed to have caused the erosion of this closed part of the public access trail to Walk on Beach on the Sea Ranch. I was assured that this work would not be done until we had a chance to meet and talk about it. In spite of this reassurance, they would wait. Trenching was observed last Friday. We had to seek the help of the County Planning Department in an attempt to stop this activity until a determination could be made that the necessary permits had been obtained and that this concentration of water would not cause erosion and put the easement at risk. I'm only a volunteer. This was supposed to be a fun project. The Wallala Bluff Trail was to be a gift to the community and to everyone who visits our area. Because of the opposition of the applicant to the trail, I've had to spend far more time defending its right to existence and the right to create it in a way that would make it attractive than in guiding it towards completion. This has been exhausting. Fortunately, I've been sustained by a large number of volunteers who have given their time and expertise to make the trail a reality, and the support of staff members from the State Coastal Conservancy and the California Coastal Commission, and our project manager, Rick Miller, from Mendocino County. The thanks I get from users of the trail and the delight in what has been created so far just kept me going. As long as Mr. Bauer continues to feel that the Walla Bluff Trail is taking up space on his property that he would like to use for other purposes, and continues to try to move the trail west out of his way, we suspect cooperation will be difficult. The history of lack of cooperation does not give confidence that if the Walla Bluff Trail is ripped apart on parcel 13 in the process of adding a retaining wall, that this applicant would restore it quickly after the development is completed. In addition, it's unlikely that he would add it back with the same loving care. If he does not, once again, volunteers will be forced to rebuild it, but this time without the $17,000 of grant money that has already been spent. The Walla Bluff Trail is an important resource for the town of Walla, and it's a coastal-dependent use. And it should have priority and protection. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else in that row? Okay, I'll move to the row.
I'll just say one thing, and I'll move to the director of the Coast Land Conservancy. The primary reason our organization was formed was the Walla Bluff Trail, one of the initial purposes of the organization. And just to clarify, too, that when talking about whether there's a moving easement or a fixed easement, the only part of the easement that's fixed is behind the breakers in and behind Ocean's that has a survey that's easement. The other part is from the Daily Brook Edge. On parcel 5, where the certain market is, it has a limitation on how far it can move towards the east. And the other part, it just refers to the Daily Brook Edge.
When you say it has a limitation, you mean because of the building itself or in the easement?
In the easement.
Yeah. I mean the way the easement is written?
The dedicated had a limitation how far it can move.
Okay.
But it could have moved to the meat market, the surge market that they built on it.
Okay.
The market was built too close to the bluff edge. That was why he was given a permission to build a retaining wall in the first place. It was a condition.
Dedication.
Dedication.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else in that row? Got moved to this, the second row?
Yeah. I'm also one of the board of directors of River Field Land Conservancy. I'm sorry, Lois. I've been with the Conservancy since 2003, not really the one with Bob, who was the founding director. I would like to share some of the Conservancy's concerns with the project. I'll try to touch only on matters not already covered, although I think they've been covered really well. Or maybe they haven't been covered from our particular point of view as stewards of the public access easement and along the Rail Trail. I do want to quote from the settlement agreement because it's relevant. In the settlement agreement dated February 16, 2007, between Bauer Limited Partnership, BLP, John H. Bauer, Redwood Coast Land Conservancy, and the California Coastal Commission, RCLC agreed not to oppose the applications for a coastal development permit by Bauer Limited Partnership for retaining walls, but did reserve the right to comment without limitation on impacts of the proposed retaining wall on public pedestrian access and enjoyment of the easement. Accordingly, as permitted by the settlement agreement, we want to have the opportunity to express our great concerns about the potential impact of the proposed retaining wall. And I think first and foremost is the extended closure of the trail. And as I listen, it's sounding longer and longer. The staff report states the proposed project would result in temporary disruption of public use of the trail. However, construction of the retaining wall would cause this segment of the trail to be closed to public use for an extended period of perhaps 6 months, if not longer, since after the wall is finished, the trail will still have to be restored. And as pointed out, because this segment is in the middle of the trail and there is no current access to it except through the Surf Motel parking lot, this would in effect close all of the bus trail south of the Surf Motel. And this is not just the part on the Bauer property, most of which hasn't been really developed yet, but the whole section further south where we built a beautiful bridge and public outlook, it's just a beautiful part of the trail. Accordingly, we do not believe that such disruption of use of the trail can fairly be described as temporary. A second big concern is drainage. And actually, this is an area where we do strongly support the creation of a drainage system that would protect the trail from rainwater runoff. However, we're worried that the drainage system as proposed in the application would at times adversely impact the use of the trail. At present, because drainage from the current commercial parking area was never properly addressed, water from this parking area flows down to the bluff and ponds on the easement. If the low spot were located east of the easement, rainwater would drain in the other direction and could be collected and treated before it empties into the estuary. The proposed design would place the collection area in the middle of the easement, allowing water to continue to inundate the easement and the bluff trail. Installing the drain in this location would also undo some of the improvements to the trail. Furthermore, it would be disruptive to use of the trail when maintenance is necessary. Ultimately, the trail would be better protected by locating a drainage system in a buffer zone east of the easement so that water would not drain onto the easement from the parking lot and the trail improvements would not be damaged. This would also serve to eliminate drainage as a factor that would otherwise potentially cause the easement on the trail to be moved in the future. And the other main thing, I think it's already been discussed, but the on the reinstallation of amenities, this, as pointed out, the settlement agreement does provide, in the case of damages caused by BLP to the public pedestrian access amenities installed by RCLC, that BLP will expeditiously repair such damage at BLP's expense. Therefore, if the application is approved, we request that a condition be included in the permit requiring BLP to use its best efforts to complete such repairs expeditiously, and that BLP's obligation to do so be secured by a performance bond or other financial assurance satisfactory to RCLC. And I think it's been pointed out why we have these concerns, prompted by the significant delays that we've experienced to date in completing the Walla Bluff Trail. And as Mary Sue pointed out, the Walla Bluff Trail is quickly becoming one of the most treasured features in Walla. The extension of the trail has restored views of the Walla River and the ocean that were obstructed by buildings on the BLP property. In the event that the retaining wall is approved, there must be assurance that the trail and its amenities will be promptly restored. And we have one final thing that hasn't been brought up so far. It was at the end of our letter. And that is, we are concerned that Mr. Bauer plans to apply to the Coastal Commission to change the terms of the easement if this application is approved. And this would surely delay completion of the trail for a very, very long time.
Anyone else in that room?
Yeah, I have a comment. My name is Brian Thurman. I am the president of Moat Creek Managing Agency for Advocates of Trails. I'm a longtime resident, 25 years of the southern Mendocino coast. And I personally believe that the Walla Bluff Top Trail is probably the best thing that's ever happened in Walla in 25 years I've lived there. I have great concerns with the visual impact of a concrete block wall. If there is, in case the necessity has been proven and permitted to create a retaining wall, I think there's a lot of alternative methods. As Mr. Boulard has proposed, there's the crib wall, the timber crib wall, which would allow revegetation of the bluff itself. And I'm very concerned with the disruptions, the political climate, if you will, in Walla, and the continuing, it seems like, sort of pre-planned disruptions of this trail. This trail is part of a mandated coastal trail. Moat Creek Managing Agency manages a couple of miles of coastal trail. And we are strong believers in retaining any of the natural form, shape of the coast, and any natural and native plants. So I'm very concerned with this brick wall. And if everyone will just look at that photograph on the bottom, and you see where Surf Supermarket is, it's the blue buildings with, as you see, very few cars. I've lived on the coast a long time, and if anything, I would say that parking lot has never been something that has been an asset to Walla, because it's been discouraged to have use back there, mostly because of the trucks going in and out of the back of Surf Super. That is not a normally used public parking area. In the summertime, it is not full of cars.
It's private.
It's a private parking lot. So Mr. Rao has stated this would be an asset to the city of Walla, which is not a city, of course. But I don't see how it's ever been used or in any way other than its runoff has done anything for Walla. And again, a brick wall would be such an awful visual nightmare. That's pretty much all I have to say. A brick wall is going to be really ugly, and we shouldn't stop any development of the coastal trail. Thank you very much.
Okay. Anyone else in that row? Anyone in the front row? Okay. Anyone who hasn't spoken that would like the opportunity to speak?
Marshall say, I've been involved for 15 years. And very, very interesting watching what's been going on with the Love Trail. I thought there was a settlement back in 2007, at the beginning of the year. Some people don't seem to be able to put it away. The comments regarding concrete retaining walls, there are already concrete retaining walls from the park. And to say that it's going to be a visual impairment any different than what we got with a falling down wooden retaining wall, I think it's insincere at best. We've even got the Bluff Trail putting up a partial retaining wall on a bridge overlook that I would say is bluff-like. That being said, it's a beautiful piece. I love the trail. We utilized it, Ray, as you know, with our Patriot Days when we had a lot of fun down there. I'm all in favor of the trail. Characterizing it 6 months off and on, closure is not temporary. Again, I don't think it speaks to reason. Lastly, I'd like to remind everybody in this room, it's an easement. This is private property. And the owner of the property still has a responsibility to take care of his land, to take care of the land that's there. It's a private property. An easement does not convey property rights. It conveys a use. It's up to Mr. Bauer to make sure that the drainage is done properly and that it complies with the trail and the terms of the agreement. I think based on his previous work and how he's been improving the town, I have faith that Teresa's staff report and the other reports that come in, and I'm very confident in those. I've seen George Rao's material. I've reviewed all the GMAC reports. I think it's a pretty thorough examination of the whole process. I'd sure like to see it give it a chance to move forward.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yes. I'd like to weigh in with my layman perspective. My name is Robert Youngling. I have been a resident and active community member since 1985. In other words, I've been a long-time local. And I've come up to the area many years before that, since the 70s from Santa Rosa. Now, I'm here speaking as a private citizen, and I want to make that absolutely clear. I'm not here as a member of GMAC. However, I am a little appalled by the fact that a GMAC member attempted to mislead the county by forwarding a letter that stated that there was unanimous GMAC approval for this project. When I first moved to Wallala, there were plans to dredge the Wallala River, remove the sandbar, and create a harbor off of the Bauer property. I just couldn't believe it at that time already. Could this be part of a larger project? There is no doubt in my mind. It's become quite obvious to me that this massive proposed retaining wall is part of a greater proposed and phased development plan for this subject and the adjacent Bauer property. In the early GMAC days, again, I'm not speaking as a GMAC member, when the Wall Town Plan was being formed, there was talk about this particular parcel becoming a town open space or a park or something. Now, I think about this grandiose plan of maybe Mr. Bauer having his legacy forever and ever and calling it his Bauer Downtown Park or something alongside of a beautiful bluff trail. That's what I think would create an identity for Wallala, okay? And we all are pursuing this. Oh, Wallala has no identity and everything. This Wallala Bluff Trail is an identity for Wallala. And to propose, I would plead with Mr. Bauer and the applicant here to maybe create some visual amenity in that particular location. I think it might be wiser and less costly to consider maybe relocating the surf supermarket or leaving it just as it is. Leave it be, not to add 1,000 square feet to the back end of it and 3,000 square feet to the front of it where we're trying to get a streetscape plan in. And it's just going to exacerbate a parking problem or a supposed parking problem in the downtown area. Everybody tends to park on the east side of the highway anyway, because there's no real parking behind the existing building there. I have no objection against some parking being open, public parking being there, but I have an objection to all of this additional building. Sure, the pharmacy would be removed, but I have an objection, a huge objection to the surf supermarket being expanded when it's already encumbering onto easements that it shouldn't have been built upon. Now, the point was brought up that, you know, an easement is just a use on a piece of property. What's being proposed here is not just to let a applicant do with his property what he wants, but what's being proposed here is to add potential, add more property to a piece of land. And I disagree with that totally. Now, okay, what else was there? Sorry. A store that generates this type of traffic or has the potential with its expansion plan to generate this type of traffic should not be in this location. I look at the beautiful map up there from the engineer over here, and I see that road that's been used the last couple months as a logging road coming down from up above. I see that corner parcel up in the left-hand upper area there. That's a beautiful parcel there that Mr. Bauer owns. Maybe something could be relocated to that location, and that central gem, as he calls it, could be left open for everybody to enjoy. Now, I feel an EIR is an absolute necessity with a project of this magnitude and significance. I please that we have no Lincoln Log label type construction here on this bluff edge for all the engineers of reasons, for the botany, for the every reason I've heard today. And I believe Mr. Bauer to leave behind a legacy and then maybe make this a downtown Bauer Park. And I plead with you to deny this CDP as proposed. Thank you very much. Yes.
Hi, I'm Peggy Bauer, wife of John. And I have been here since 1979. And I just have a couple of things to say. One, everyone has their own truth and their own thoughts. But I wish to tell you all that in 28 years of marriage, my husband's integrity is beyond question. And when he talks, he tells the truth. A lot of what's been going on in our community is innuendos and misinformation. Part of the problem is my husband. He works 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. He does not have the time, lots of time, to accommodate people who call him and ask him questions. That is the problem, miscommunication, and as I'm going to say, part of my husband's problem, lack of availability to answer your question. We are an extraordinary community, so blessed in so many ways. We really don't need the dissension that is caused by different means. We're all in the race of humanity. We can communicate and get along. And my prayers every day are for the best for everyone.
I have one more comment, if you don't mind. Okay. I would like to say that I'd like to state that the history of retaining walls in the state of California pretty much speaks for itself. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone can ask that you be very brief.
I have one more comment. That photo, it's my understanding that the photo in the upper right that I used to show the wall, that was taken during Patriot Days this year. So that's got a lot of, that's probably the peak parking demand for the town, as it was presented to me. So there we don't see a whole lot of cars behind the old farms. That's incorrect.
Okay.
Well before that.
No, actually, if you look there, John, you can see in the picture, you can see the tents up for the encampment. You can see how the hotel was blocked off for the parking. You can see that it was the pay and take day, or you can see that it was a Saturday because the farmer market was up there. You can see that it was a Walla Arts Fest day. It's all in that picture.
The parking lot behind the Syracuse for employees.
Okay, Teresa.
I just want to say that I've been to the site several times during the course of this project, and I have been there when there's been a lot more cars in that lot than there are depicted in either of those pictures.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else that wants to, very briefly, we've already gone around once, so I'd ask that this be new information.
Well, I think it's supplementary to what I said earlier. The aesthetics surrounding this wall are not about retaining walls per se. It's a matter of size and scale, and that's really what it's about. The thing is huge. It would set a precedent in the county on the coast.
Got a question to the RCLC, and that is, in the settlement, it does say that the Bowers have the right to a retaining wall. Why was that agreed to?
No, actually, it doesn't say that. It just applies. It says that it's entitled to use of its property, but that any necessary permits must be obtained before any of this can happen.
Do you have a copy of the settlement?
It's in the staff report.
Okay, and that's quoted in the staff report accurately from the settlement.
Okay. Provided the BLP obtains all necessary permits for such work, including cultural development permits when required. And I think that RCLC felt strongly that a very close assessment, a very careful assessment would be made to determine whether or not a retaining wall was needed. RCLC did not feel that they had the expertise to make that kind of determination.
Okay. Before I return it to the applicant, anyone that has anything new to add? I think I'll return to the applicant for any closing comments.
I'll go first. I understand RCLC's reluctance, because there's been reluctance on my part in the past. I want to see all the dissension and fighting go away. I want to see the town to be a beautiful town. I enjoy the trail. In fact, I think that area on our property is one of the most spectacular viewing areas in Wallala, and I'd like to see it also available for the public to walk through and enjoy. And I'd like to add a lot of different aspects to that as we go on in the future, and I think RCLC would be appreciative of those. I also would like to see that part of the trail become a section of walkable land that's available for those that are handicapped, and currently the trail does not, it's not currently built to meet handicapped standards. And I will discuss that with RCLC in the future as to how we might do that and bring that into perspective, because I know that their funding for the trail, the grant funding that they got, was had a perspective in it as to handicap accessible if they could do that. And I think between the two of us, when we finally get down and work this thing out, I think we can really make it accessible. That's going to be something that we'll probably do as we look at the future of the trail as we go on in our other phases. But currently I'm willing to replace, just like the court document says, the court is very clear. If we have any issues, the judge will pick it back up and deal with it. So I don't see any issues, and I don't see anything the county has to deal with there in regards to replacing the trail. We're going to replace it as quickly as we can when we're finished with our project, or when we're partially finished with our project, so the public can get back on it as soon as possible. It's to our advantage to bring that back to the parking lot, Preserve Market, and the other buildings there, which are not all being demolished currently. We only have an application for one, and it's actually been occupied by some volunteers at some of the local coastal activities. As I go on, there were, to kind of bring history into perspective here, the bill was placed on that parcel and the other parcel 5, which is the Surf Market. 13 is the one we're talking about. That bill was placed in there from, I believe, four different sources. There was a PAC, SPC or PACDEL at that point in time, trenching project downtown. There was Cypress Village leveling of a parcel in there before this Cypress Village was built. There was a tremendous amount of fill that came out of the construction from the Sunstrom Wall. The Sunstrom Wall was completely excavated down, and much of it is as much as 15 feet in the back. A tremendous amount of fill came from there. This was an expeditious way to get rid of fill, to level it out, to park on it, and it was all done prior to the Coastal Act. There may have been some maintenance beyond that during the Coastal Act. There was a retaining wall, which apparently was placed on record as part of a requirement to maintain that, which I found out about in the middle of our lawsuit. That particular retaining wall failed, and there were two other debris flows. There were three debris flows within the two properties, ours and the Surf Motel's property, that occurred all in the December-January rains of 2006. There had been no other debris flows that I had known of on the parcel until this particular time, and that was a time in which RCLC was starting to do construction. They dumped base rock in a small V ditch, which they didn't recognize was a drainage thing behind the market. It caused part of the problem. Part of the problem was I didn't see it. There were other issues with drainage there, and we want to settle them. We don't want to point blame at who's doing what here. The westerly edge of the easement, the surveyors came through before we knew about it and put a straight line, basically, with two slight jogs in it, inwards on our property, and said, this is the trail easement. That was when my dad owned the property, my mom and dad owned the property. I can go out there today and show you that portions of that existing fill are 12 to 13 feet west of that westerly boundary of that easement. Mr. Rao's retaining wall has to be built in a fairly straight design so that the blocks will interlock correctly. The retaining wall, as you see, our judgment with the court and the Coastal Commission, we were required to do an application for a replacement or a repair of the retaining wall at the Surf Market. We felt that had to happen immediately. Their attorney said, do it now. We did it at that point in time, expecting to see the Coastal Commission come forward and grant that particular retaining wall. As we developed the design of the retaining wall, we concluded that because of the other debris flows and the drainage issues that existed on the other party, other parcel, it only made sense to continue the retaining wall through the two parcels. There's a retaining wall on the parcel to the north. There's a bridge, which we've seen to the south, on the Breakers property, which is partially being used as a retaining wall for property there. So it's not inconceivable or inconsistent that a retaining wall be placed down there, especially since the Coastal Commission is under judgment from the court to look at our application to replace that retaining wall or to repair it. I've heard of spraying. This is the first time I've heard of spraying of plants on our property. It doesn't have to do with this particular application, but Mary Sue brought it up. We did remove the trash containment facility that was on, that was constructed on the current trail easement and how it's surveyed. And I think we did a tremendous amount to bring that up to a little better standards. There may still be odor problems, and I'm sorry those occur. We're trying to make Surf Market responsible for all those. As to any other items, I would sure be happy to answer any other questions. My view is this is a fabulous scenic vista. put the retaining wall in place, it's going to be something that people are going to love, enjoy, and with the assessment, the additional things that we place out there, and Mary Sue's putting out there, such as tables, benches, trash, and small trash cans for folks to put their own personal garbage. And if we can build this thing in a fashion that's somewhat handicap oriented, I think we've done some real pluses for the community and those that enjoy it in our community. So as for that, I want to close in saying that there's been word from GMAC saying that this was potentially blighted area. It's an old, it's a set of older structures. This is the gateway to Mendocino County. And I think when folks drive in and see our end of our final phases of our project, they're going to see something beautiful, they're going to enjoy it, and they're going to say, thank you very much, RCLC and Mr. Bauer, you did a nice job.
Can I ask you why you sued the Coastal Commission and RCLC?
Yes, I guess you're asked that question.
Can I get an answer?
Yes. I didn't know what my personal property rights were, and I wanted a judge to tell me what my rights were. As a result of Coastal Permit Administrator's hearing here, and what I thought was going to be a 5-foot trail running through the property, we ended up losing 25 feet of property that we can no longer park on, that we've been parking on. I asked staff analysts at that point in time, have you been down to see the property? Do you know what's here? Do you know we've been parking on that? And the answer was no. So there was an incomplete picture. I had an incomplete picture. I didn't stay involved. I'm now trying to stay involved. And so the reason for suing was I wanted to know what our rights were, what our property rights were, and what I had to do, and what RCLC had a right to do.
Okay.
I'd like to just come up and make a few comments
sure.
about the facilities. First of all, there's been some confusion about the septic systems.
All of the plumbing be removed from the structure as the retention of the shower will require